Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ruth Wallisoff.
Thank you.
Okay. I do it well. And we are having a wonderful conversation with Carmine DeSena, Director of Psychiatric Rehabilitation at Northwell. And the focus is on stress, senior stress. But actually, some of the things he's talking about could be every day for a high school student, for a college student. Right. Stress is stress. It doesn't wait until you're 75
to
have
child.
Stress.
Even
yeah, exactly.
For a child.
There's no question about it. But we're talking about all different ways of conquering it. Activities and exercise, meditation, prayer.
Right.
All those things are very individualized, though, right? I mean, obviously.
Yeah, and I think that there. I'll talk about a couple of things, but you don't have to like any of them. You can choose the ones you like.
That's the point.
There's some people, like, you know, who gravitate towards certain things, and some people who don't. So because you try one technique and that's not the right thing, it shouldn't stop you from trying others.
That's very important.
Yeah, I think that one of the things that I think that meditation. Is a really strong tool for people. And there are many ways to learn how to use that. You know, you can certainly get all sorts of tapes and certainly can read about it. But for some people, as they get older, having that kind of concentration can be hard, or for people who are just starting out. So you have to give yourself two things. Maybe you have to work up to meditating for a certain amount of time. It's like, you know, it's like the people who, you know, diet, they starve themselves, they start to diet by starving themselves, and then by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're eating Cheetos.
Right, right.
So you don't have to become the meditation expert. It takes a little time. Meditation takes practice, and then you can expand the amount of time that you're meditating. Some quicker things, though, for people that they could think about along with meditation is certainly deep breathing exercises. Deep breathing is great because you can do it in public without maybe being so obvious. Like if you're in the doctor's office and you're suddenly feeling stressed because you're about to see the doctor. And the planning part of seeing the doctor is to write your questions down and go in with an agenda.
Right.
But when you're in the office, you can just start to do breathing, deep breathing and relaxation and letting it go. The other things you can do that's really simple and something you can do in a public space is you can do, you know, sort of like you push your hands together, you feel that stress and then you release, you move your legs so you can feel that pressure and then release.
That's a very good
idea.
And
you begin to occupy your mind with that feeling and sensation. And sometimes when you have the feeling of sensation, it kind of revives you. So those are the things you can do. But I also think the journaling is important. I think learning opportunities are important because you want your mind to work. So if you're feeling stressed out, maybe instead of thinking about what you're stressed out about, watch any one of a million self-help or to-do channels, the cooking channel, the National Geographic channel. You can start to do all of those things. But I think
what about if an older person, I hope you don't mind my interrupting.
No.
What about it if an older person is worried about finances and they think that maybe they'll outlive their savings? What do you suggest for them?
Well, first of all, I think it's a really valid concern because, you know, it's something that we're all concerned about. So, but this is where you need information. In other words, you being concerned that you're going to outlive your finances is not going to help you with your finances. It's not.
Right, right.
It's a signal that you have to take care of. So, I mean, you know, you talked about 311 or, you know, in most of the social centers, there are people that can help you look at that. At
right,
the
absolutely.
Finance. And so it's really about problem solving and connecting to someone who can help you. Because if you don't have the wherewithal, and most of us don't, to do that kind of financial planning, there is assistance that you can get. So it's about understanding that there's a problem you have to solve, not that this is a problem that you can solve. So you have to, again, take that step. And a lot of
times. And actually, the town does have social workers that would come and see you. And when it comes to finances, there comes a point where you have to sit down with somebody and say, guess what? You won't run out of money, but you can spend $500 a week on what you're spending it on.
Right.
So you have to make an adjustment in your lifestyle. There's nothing wrong with that. It's,
well,
you know, may not want to, but that's a discussion. Everything is.
Well, sometimes seniors don't know that there are things available to them.
100%.
You know, and they may be eligible for certain things. So I was president of my co-op for a number of years, and we had a lot of elderly people who were starting to maybe fail. And because I'm in this business, I was able to connect them to all sorts of social service agencies that helped them maybe get the food that they needed or maybe have someone can clean their house. Mm-hmm. And so there are many services that people just aren't aware of.
Right.
Also, a lot of times if someone is caretaking someone else in their family, if it, you know, one senior, they may need help with that.
Yes, yes.
And often people are very stubborn. They want to do it the way they want to do it. But I think awareness and knowing it's a problem and having contacts like, you know, the project you have or being part of a social center, there are people at those places that can help you with all of those things.
And being open to being helped.
Yes.
It's very important.
Well, in the same way that you were open at your job to being helped, mm-hmm. or you were open when you were raising your children that your friend helped you, you know, that, you know, right. in the same way that you've always accepted help, you know. But for some people, what's important is one of the ways to get over stress, and maybe people don't think about it, is to nurture something else. So that makes us healthier because we reinforce who we are. So whether it's nurturing another friend, maybe there's someone you go visit who's not doing that well. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's nurturing a garden. Maybe it's nurturing a pet, whatever that is. But when you start to nurture, you actually heal yourself.
And you also forget about your stress.
Exactly.
So you're distracted.
And you have a schedule.
Yes.
But let's follow up on that a touch. By nurturing somebody else, and you said you forget about your stress, but you're only forgetting about it. Right? You're not putting it away.
Well, so most of your life, you have to make a choice. And most of the time when we have problems, right, we may be only diverting ourselves for a certain time period.
Okay.
No, in other words, if you have a chronic illness, that illness is not going to go away because you have a
right.
schedule.
Right.
But if you can give yourself some enjoyment. So most of the people I work with are severely ill, you know. And so we can focus on their illness. Or we can focus on the fact that maybe they can get a job or have a friend. So you may not take something away, but in your life, you balance your life, you know, and there's talk about when you want to move on from something. Do you divert yourself and maybe do something different, or do you just keep focusing on the issue? So a little diversion is not a problem. Okay. Most of us need it. I think the problem is, and I think you pointed this out, and you have some alternatives, is you're not going to get diversion in your house doing nothing by yourself.
True.
So right, right.
Having this project, having people who can help you solve problems, having people that you can go talk to, those are the kinds of things. So diversion is not a bad thing. You may never fix a problem, but you can get it.
But you cope with it better.
Cope with it and take a break from it.
Yes,
if that makes
yes.
sense.
Okay. Another one which seniors can do, I mean, not everybody, because according to your eyesight, et cetera, is reading. Like you say in self-help shows. Self-help books are just the same thing, right?
Yeah, or tapes. Like,
that's a good one,
what
tapes
I
too.
Find is that people have their thing that they like to do. And so I still listen, and this is probably going to get a laugh. I still listen to cassette tapes because in the 1980s, that's what we had. So I have a cassette player.
Okay.
You know, that's
I still have records.
Thing. Okay, there you
so
go.
So that's even longer.
Right. So it doesn't have to be the TV. People love listening to the radio. You know, and I think that whatever that medium is, trust me, there's something you can get that'll entertain you in that medium, whether it's cassette, a DVD, a television channel, a radio show. There's a lot out there. And some seniors are very adept at going online and using the internet.
Right.
Some not.
Right.
You know, I think that that's a big step for people. And even people who aren't great on the computer can sometimes be okay with emailing and internet.
Right.
So it really just depends.
That's me.
You're good with the internet.
I'm not great with the computer, but I know how to email.
Okay, that's fine though.
If I hit the wrong key, everything
you're
goes kaprooly.
Right. You got to turn it off and start from scratch.
But do a little self-discovery. Choose the medium that you like best, whatever that is, and don't be ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of my cassettes.
I like the telephone. I like to talk to someone, and I like to hear the tone in their voice, and that you can't get with email.
No, I think it's important that you're right. You don't get the tone.
We're talking about things to do when people have stress, okay, which can lead to depression and different things. What are some of the things that a person needs to recognize that they actually have it? I mean, you know, if it's a way of life, you're not saying, I'm not stressed. This is the way, but you are stressed. You know what I'm trying to say? Like,
right.
It can be an outsider saying it, but that person themselves is like, wait a minute, slow down. There's something wrong, and I'm not realizing it. So all these procedures aren't going to, I'm not going to get there because I'm not even accepting it.
So in life, And as a therapist, because I am licensed in the state of New York as a mental health counselor, I'm also certified nationally as a rehabilitation counselor. You know, an incident is less important than a pattern. You know what I'm saying? So if you're having your family over for dinner and you're stressed, that's an incident. If you find you can't cook at night because you're anxious or stressed out about the stove or something else, then that's a pattern. So I think you first have to recognize, is there a pattern happening, you know, that you have to address? And if the pattern becomes so serious, maybe you do want to get some professional help about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing. Understanding the difference between an incident and a pattern. And when something's a pattern, again, you have to get into problem-solving mode again. If something's happening all the time, like if you get stressed every time you have to go to the food market because you're worried about getting there and getting home, you gave that example about getting a ride there, that's a pattern you can act on. You know, so I think that's really important, recognizing something as a pattern and what's the reason for that pattern. When does it happen? How often does it happen? Is it something that's maybe making you not go out? Is it to the point where you maybe need to go see someone? Also, at the Zucker Hillside Hospital, I'm happy to say that we do have a walk-in clinic that's open during the day. So instead of maybe going to an emergency room, if you wouldn't know where to go to get some help, you can go there and be seen in that day.
And you don't have to have an appointment?
No, you can just walk in.
Oh,
so
really?
We have this center now where people can walk in, and it's great because a lot of people don't know how.
From a mental health perspective.
Yes.
I'm just so stressed. I don't know what's going on. As opposed to going to the emergency room, I can go there.
You can go there.
I'll sit down with somebody. Wow.
Yes. And they do this. They can do the triage. And for some people, it may just be that they need a short-term intervention. And some people certainly might need, you know, more professional help, mm-hmm. maybe on an outpatient basis. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, even on an inpatient basis. But, you know, that kind of thing is really helpful, and we should get
that's
you that.
That's huge. I never heard of that. That's tremendous.
Yeah, it's something that we do, and I think it's something we used to do years and years ago, and they've just brought it back.
What is the fee?
Well, it's an insurance-based.
Right, you know, going to an emergency
room. So Medicare would pay for that?
I most likely. I would get that information to you, though, if you wanted.
Yeah, that's something to talk about, because that's a tremendous. I never heard of anything like that before.
Well, it's an amazing thing, because to get if you're feeling like anxious and you're overwhelmed, and maybe by the second or third day you're thinking, oh, my God, I can't go on, you're probably not in the best situation to start calling mental health clinics and get an appointment.
Right, right. And what are the hours of the walk-in clinic?
I think it's pretty much 9 to 9, but I'll get that information for your listeners.
Yeah, I think that's tremendous.
I never
heard of anything like that. And right, because a person can have
a terrible
stress going on.
I think we should let people know, people in Project Independence know that.
Migraine.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I've been blessed at the Zucker Hillside Hospital because they really, you know, we provide such an array of services, and you know, I feel lucky to work there because we can.
I think they're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
And actually, we're unlucky because the time is up. It's amazing how fast it flies. But you ended this on a wonderful note, because that emergency room concept for somebody who's like, I'm going to pull my hair out, but you don't, because then when you go to the doctor 4 days later, you're fine, and you're trying to explain the situation, you're going right to it. Thank
and
you,
the doctor
Colin. I want to thank you so much. This was absolutely wonderful. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.